Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. And thank you so much, once again, for coming and joining us on the Holderness Family Podcast.
You're always so chipper, and I love it.
I feel like if I were moody and nonplussed.
Nonplussed, I think, is, I don't think you're using that right.
Doesn't that mean irritated?
I thought it meant, I don't know.
Googling nonplussed. It felt like, I have a history of trying to say big words.
And I'm like, kids, he doesn't
and getting them wrong.
About.
Surprised and confused so much that they are unsure how to react.
Oh, I've been using it wrong. I actually don't use it. I think I would avoid using that phrase because I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. Sorry, anyway. I was about to say another one.
Okay.
Let's move on.
What were we going to say?
Disaffected.
Disinfected?
No, disaffected. Is that not a word? Oh, crap. Disaffected. Dissatisfied with the people and authority and no longer willing to support them.
Okay,
that was actually the one I was going for.
Today's vocabulary lesson, kids. We're also getting you ready for the SAT. You didn't know that.
Right.
Anywho.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Welcome to our podcast. I love spending time with you, my husband, and you, the people who are allowing this to come into your ear holes. Thank you.
Same.
So today, I'm excited. I am interviewing my husband because on this podcast, we bring in, just selfishly, this is all about me, we bring in people on areas and topics where we have a genuine curiosity. We've done a couple menopause and perimenopause podcasts lately. I have a genuine curiosity because I'm in that stage of life and I want to know more about it. We talk a lot about ADHD, anxiety, parenting, marriaging. But you guys, we have a world-class expert among us, and his name is Ben Holderness. What is he an expert in, you may ask? He is an expert at letting go. No one on this planet will let go of pain, hurt, a bad day. Nobody does it better than
a fight.
Ben Holderness. A fight. He forgives after a fight and in a very genuine way, not in the passive aggressive way I do it, where I just say, fine, yes, I forgive you. And I like walk away and then I need like a day.
You're never really actually done with it.
No, yeah. I can. The next podcast, you should interview me.
About how to hold a grudge better?
About how to hold a grudge and let it eat at your soul. Because I am still mad at people from high school.
I know.
And it's not good.
Well, thank you. So it sounds like you would like to get some tips and tricks on how I do it. And by the way, like I think stick with us on this because it's not all smiles and sunshine. Everything has its yang, right? Every yin has its yang. So we're actually, in the end, Kim, you were asking me about this, and I had a theory that maybe it had something to do with my brain. So we're going to bring in Dr. Marcy Caldwell toward the end, who is my kind of, she's my adult ADHD guru.
Yeah.
And she has some thoughts on how that may have something to do with it as well. So let's talk about you.
Well, no, okay.
To start.
to start?
Yeah,
you talk about me?
Yeah, for the baseline.
You know, this has been something I've been trying to work towards, not in a way that we often have fights. It's not that, because I think you and I do a good enough job. You do a really good job. I do a good enough job of letting go if we've been in an argument. I think the things I get stuck on are, you know, things with our kids. You know, I don't have to explain it to people who are walking the parenting life, but your kids are disappointed. They, you know, don't get the grade or make the team or whatever those really common experiences that kids have to go through. They have to go through those things. I hold on to that, you know, pain for them. I hold on. People in my life, my poor mom just had another surgery on her ankle and her foot, and she's so stressed out. And so I hold that pain and that disappointment for her. So I don't know why it is that I feel as if I hold it, I'm protecting myself. If I hold this pain, if I hold this resentment or this fear, that it's a way I can kind of build a wall, and there's no way I can be disappointed more because I'm already, you know, stressing myself out.
Right. So it sounds like letting go, it's a very wide term. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like for you, there's two different types of things. And you just qualified it very well. One of them is letting go of empathy, or disconnecting yourself from that empathy, because you are such a spectacular empath. You feel everything. You internalize the joys, yes, also, mm-hmm. but also the struggles of not only people that you know and you love, but even people who you have never heard of before who have endured some sort of tragedy, mm-hmm. right? So I think number one is not letting go of empathy, because empathy is great, but controlling that empathy. And the other part is forgiveness.
Right.
So those are two different things that you can let go of. Which one would you say you struggle with the most?
I do both really well. It's really hard for me if someone does the completely human thing of hurting my feelings or betraying my trust or a laundry list of things that humans do to each other that I have done. You know what I mean? That I've, you know, been an idiot and done things I'm not proud of in relationships. But I have a really hard time letting go of that hurt, and not going to share specific family things, but there have been things in my family that I just have trouble letting go, and I need to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hang on the empathy stuff totally gets me. I mean, I go really deep and dark on things, especially with news headlines. So I don't wish to let go, because I always want to care about things happening to people, but I need to be able to be productive. I need to be able to maintain relationships long term. So I want to master this art. I will say, conversely, on this podcast and our videos, I've always asked you to go a little deeper with me. Let's get vulnerable. Let's get weird. Let's talk hopes and dreams. And I think part of you don't.
Sure, I do. I don't talk. You just gave a general statement that I don't go super deep because I don't do great at where do you see yourself in 5 years. That's one specific type of depth. What's that?
I'm thinking.
I just don't know that I would put me as someone who never like exposes any depth in these things. I hope not.
No, you go deep, but you don't sit there.
Oh, I don't sit in the suck?
You don't
That's
sit
different.
In the suck.
I absolutely don't.
Right.
I don't. I move on.
Yeah. And sometimes I'd like to sit there a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance. And I think the benefit of you not sitting there is the fact that you can move on and get over things so quickly. So together, we are the perfect human.
Right. Isn't that how it always is? Or together, we are the most deeply flawed human on the planet if you take the other side. Anyway, so that's your baseline. I just wanted to establish that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm ready to be interviewed.
You're ready to be interviewed? Yeah. I am looking at my phone because that's where my notes are.
That's fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
I've been doing the work on just getting uncomfortable and trying not to avoid those uncomfortable situations. And for me, getting uncomfortable means, guys, we're going on a ski trip. Your girl does not really ski. I don't like to be scared or cold, and that is both. And so but I'm trying to do it with a smile on my face and being very rah-rah. But you really, like, if you experience those things, you don't let on. So I just want to know, what is happening in your brain? Do you ever experience anxiousness and you just keep a calm and like exterior? Like you just keep so calm for us? Or are you always so chill?
So it's the answer is not within getting out of a comfort zone. It's probably the opposite for me. When I'm out of my comfort zone, I'm at peace. I think it's something new to me. And it's something, and I hate to be quoting the neurodiverse ADHD brain, but it's useful in this sense. I like things that are new. Mm-hmm. I like things that are challenging. And I like things that are of personal interest or that I can conquer or overcome. And so a stressful situation to some is a very peaceful situation to me because it has all of my neurons firing in the right direction. The times that I do feel like that are when there's nothing going on. So I guess it's the opposite. I do have anxiety if there is nothing going on, particularly at work. If there is nothing happening and I don't feel myself moving forward or I don't feel any creativity happening, that is a trigger for anxiety. But when there are new things and things that are in motion, I don't feel that way. So maybe that's just my brain.
Okay. Is it because you're married to me and I'm a person that cannot let go? I hold grudges. I get anxious. Are you overcompensating or is this just you? Like if you had married like a really chill surfer girl, would you have to take on that anxiety? Are we just yin and yanging it?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you some things that I was like before I met you, if that helps.
Sure.
But let me start by saying I do believe in that balance and that you do. And it's an act of love, right? I don't think it doesn't bother me. Or I don't think it's a bad thing. But if one person has a deficit, the other person works to make it a strength. A good partner does that to try to make it a strength. Or just for the sake of having a complete set of opinions. So it may not even be a deficit. It just may be a person needing to help the group, the family mass really have like be able to see things from all sides. So that's possible. I will say that when we talked about this with Carlos Whitaker actually last night, when I was young, I was bullied. And while I'm not always fantastic at picking up what other people are feeling, my dad made a great point to me when I was, after I got home and my hair was wet and I'd had something called a swirly that these two buttholes had, sorry to use that term, had.
Do we know their names? Can we put them on blast?
I would love to, but I'm not going to. And I'm going to tell you why later on. Anyway, I was I was worse than crying. I was keeping to myself and locking myself in my room. Like it's worse than crying. I didn't want to share with anyone. And my dad finally kind of pulled it out of me. And I was, I think what I wanted to hear from him was revenge. Like I'm going to go talk to this parent and this will never happen again. And I've been guilty of that before too. Right.
Yeah.
But less so. I don't do it as much as I think I would have because that's what I wanted. I wanted revenge. And my dad said, what do you think that person's day was like today? Think they had a good day? And I said, yeah, they were laughing when they did this to me. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. Every bully is having a bad day and that's why they're being a bully. Something bad has happened to them and they are taking it out on you. And it may be something at school. It may be something with a girlfriend. It could be something in their family. They could have perfectly good parents and be responding this way. Mm-hmm. But the origin of every bullying event is pain within that person. And I didn't understand that at first. I was frankly a little upset because I wanted him to just go kind of pop a bear and just like expel the guys because I was so embarrassed. And it took a long time for that to sink in. But a couple of things have happened since then. I've run into those bullies. I've seen them. And I've had conversations with them. And they have found peace and have become better people. And they sometimes have regret. And also, like, this is going to sound like they didn't turn out to be like, if they were the captain of the football team and they were the bully, they didn't turn out to be Tom Brady.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that didn't make me feel any better.
So that's the thing. But it would make me feel better.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'd be like, your life is terrible.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
I know. Well, that's the natural feeling, right?
No, but that's why you're a better person than I am.
Well, I'm not a better person than you are.
I know.
I'm really not. You are able to understand the feelings of others and pick up on them so much better than me. And that is infinitely more valuable than you feeling what I believe that you think that you have petty feelings toward others. And that's what you're saying. It's about trying to understand the perspective. And I'm using the bully as an example, but you and I have seen this in hate crimes, in racism, in our government, in all of these places where you've been upset. And I've been upset too, but I may have just that little extra thing where I'm trying to think about like what led this person to do this.
I think that creates an understanding. I don't have an interest in feeling sympathetic to somebody who is acting out a hate crime. That's different. I think that's not...
I think I can
understand it. You know, you can always kind of unravel.
Well, let's nuance it more. Let's talk about like an elected official who makes a very small amount of money and is part of a group that has decided politically to act in a certain way. But the rest of their lives are certainly...
There's value in
not as lives. Evil as it right. not as evil no. as it appears, particularly in the media.
I also maintain that a lot of those people are just putting on a show. They're just performing for a click. So that's sure. different.
So the long answer is, limited as I am sometimes in empathy, when I see acts of hatred or selfishness or really pettiness, I usually in my head translate that to inner sadness by that person, sometimes fear or confusion. And it allows me to attach some grace to that person.
So showing grace to yourself, showing grace to others is huge. Okay.
And we will be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, it's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like...
There is a lot of pit sweat.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body Deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts. More like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E.
What does get you upset? When do you get very upset and mad?
Well, I still can't handle wet willies. So I got, part of my bullying was I would get wet willied on the school bus every single day from second grade until maybe fifth grade by the same two guys. Someone in college like jokingly did that to me, and I was driving my car and I ran the car off the road and I almost killed all of us. So that's one thing. So please don't give me a wet willie. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. I'm glad you don't. I'm glad that our kids don't know what that is, because I would never tell them. I mean, I still have very little sympathy for anybody who goes after my family. And I have zero sympathy for anyone who doesn't understand and respect the rights of every human being.
Right.
And that rears its ugly head quite a bit. I also don't like it when people say something and aren't willing to listen to a possible other perspective. And like aren't even willing to listen to that other person argue because they're so hell-bent that they're right.
Do you have an example of a time that you've been upset lately? I mean, you just gave some very broad examples. Because let me say this. We were on, I mean, if you've listened to this podcast, you know, Penn's dad passed away last year.
Yeah.
And his mom's not doing great. She's advancing through Alzheimer's. And we got some updates yesterday. Not ideal. And you got the phone call, sat with it. And then it was, okay, we have to get jerseys for the kids' basketball teams. I know you were not sweeping it under the rug. There's zero criticism.
I'm glad you asked me that, because it's not that I don't get upset. It's that I don't stay upset, I guess. That's it. That's what letting go is. Mm-hmm. It's processing that emotion and moving on, I would think. Mm-hmm. I get upset all the time. I was very upset yesterday. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
I mean, just to update people, because honestly, I think it's important for people to understand what the journey of dementia is. And we've talked about my dad. My dad passed away 6-7 months ago, and the ending happened pretty quickly. And I'm learning that that's just what happens. You have him surrounded by skilled nursing and care that can kind of read the tea leaves some of the time. And so where we are with mom is, I think maybe the last time I talked about her, she wasn't talking as much, but she was humming. She was still singing. Yeah. She could hear songs. She recognized me. She squeezed my hand and would occasionally just try to say a sentence, even if it wasn't a word, which was great. That was probably 3 or 4 months ago. And the update now is that none of those things are really happening. When she's awake, she's got her eyes closed most of the time, because that's a comfortable place for her to be. Her food is now pureed instead of eaten in full. And that's just because as dementia progresses, you lose the ability to eat and swallow, right? Like
it's technically Alzheimer's, which is different than dementia.
Yeah, no, she's got Alzheimer's. I'm sorry. Yeah. I use that as a catch-all.
Yeah.
They use something called thickened liquids. That's where they are now, because they need to feel the weight of the liquid or else they'll choke it down their throat. They won't know whether it's, so it feels like a solid when they drink it. So all of her food is kind of has that same consistency. As long as she's eating it, we're okay. And then really what happens is you stop eating. You lose the ability or desire to eat. That's what happened with my dad. And we don't have a DNR. We don't have an IV or a feeding tube as part of the care plan. And that was decided by them a long time ago.
Yeah, they made that decision.
So that I wouldn't have to decide it, which is... Y'all, get a death plan together. That's all I'm saying. Do it now. Because that is a decision every child would always, like they would, part of them would say, I want to preserve their life as much as possible because it's the right thing to do. But the other like real part in their head is like, I don't think that they want to live like this anymore. No. And that's something that is seen as shameful. right?
Yeah.
It probably is seen in some way as shameful. I'm here to tell you, it is not shameful. And the best way to prove that right now, because there's no legal right to control your death at this point.
Right.
We can talk about that for a long time because I have strong feelings about that as well. But the one thing that you can do as a parent is put something together in writing for your children to have no choice but to follow.
Yeah. At his dad's funeral, he designed his funeral, by the way.
Yeah. And then we talked about it.
And we had to find a copy of it. And they handed it out like as you were walking from the sanctuary to the little reception hall to, you know, kind of shake hands with everybody. Everybody was given a copy. And I think it said something like Death Wish or something. My Death
Right.
Wish
it's a Charles Bronson movie.
And
there is a Charles Bronson shoot 'em up called Death Wish.
Yeah, there's something that was like, oh, okay.
That might have been Death Wishes.
I think it was like Death. These are my Death Wishes.
Right.
And it's really, your parents decide, and they wrote a letter that was kind of heartbreaking to read, but they knew this was happening. And they said, please don't put us somewhere, but please don't alter your life to take care of us. And then please don't try to resuscitate us. Please don't try to save us.
Yeah.
Please don't let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up.
Kim is giving a wrap it up sign. So yeah. The circling of the index finger right now. Well, okay. So the reason we're telling you all of this is because Kim was wondering how I was able to process all of that and then move on with my day pretty quickly and go pick my son up.
You were productive yesterday.
And get back to work.
That's where I struggled because I was on the phone call and my monkey brain has trouble focusing after that.
Yeah.
And you jumped back in, you started editing. I think you sang a song, you got kids to carpool and sports and things like that. And is that the blessing of not sitting too long in the suck? You acknowledged the suck. You said, this sucks, but you don't sit with it.
Maybe I did, but it just didn't take as long as it did for you. I mean, the processing of it to me was we got off the phone and you and I got a chance to talk for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to say, I think this is the end of the middle.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's the beginning of the end, and that's when hospice really takes over and you just want to get her comfortable. But I don't think we're at the beginning of the end. I think we're at the end of the middle. I also, with that particular situation, was very upset. And maybe you need to hear me say that so you understand that I'm not a robot, but we got off the phone call and it was, when you go from the middle of the middle to the end of the middle, that's a real feeling. It means that it's coming, right? Like I'm going to lose my mom. And it might be on schedule. It might be sooner. It may take for a while, but we are headed in that direction because the way that Alzheimer's progresses, you just can't eat. And so that made me sad. I've also been sad since 2018 when this became obvious that she had this. It's been 5 years. So I've been sad for my mom for 5 years, and I could have very easily felt this exact way for 5 years. And there is no way that my parents would want me to be that way.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So part of it is, I don't think mom wants me sitting around thinking about this. And I get going. Is it still stuck in the back of my head? Probably. Am I going to crash and burn and spiral like people with neurodiverse brains do? Sure. But this might be a good time to bring in Dr. Caldwell.
Okay. Good call.
Do you have any other questions, or is it okay if we talk about this for a bit?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get into it.
Okay. So Kim told me she was going to interview me about this. And we were actually talking to Amory and to Sam. We were in a kind of a team group meeting. And I said, I was like, do you think that my ADHD helps me forgive and to kind of move on and to kind of squirrel and just kind of move on to the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a look of like interested faces, like, I don't know. And so really the most in-depth way to find this out is to Google, does ADHD affect forgiveness? Y'all, Google is great. I don't care. But like we're going to go deeper. The answer was in a couple of things. Yes, the ADHD people tend to be more forgiving. It was on like a big long list of something, maybe on an article by Newsweek.
Yeah.
Who knows what it was? But we wanted to talk to someone who really knows what they're talking about. And I love Dr. Caldwell. She was the one who first gave me the mixing board metaphor. She likes to use metaphors to explain how the ADHD brain works. And the mixing board was that we don't have dimmer switches. It's either all, it's a one or a zero. It's on or off. And there's no way to really multitask a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. So she has this really interesting metaphor about a fishbowl, and the important things are the things in the fishbowl and the actual medium of the fishbowl, which is water.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of ADHD brains as kind of walking around as if they're like living inside a fishbowl. So imagine a fishbowl sitting on top of someone's shoulders, and whatever is in that fishbowl is very present for an ADHD brain. So that includes, you know, your keys, that includes your friends, that includes whatever's kind of present. The minute it's taken out of the fishbowl, it ceases to exist. And emotions are kind of like if we dropped a little dye pocket, you know, like those little tabs of dye that we use for Easter egg dyeing, right? If we dropped one of those into the water and it colored the water, then all of a sudden everything becomes that color, right? So all the things in the fishbowl turn that color. And so when someone's really angry, the color turns red and everything's red and it's all red and that's all we can see, all we can feel, all we can be. And then that color kind of fades away or changes a different color, right? Like a different dye pocket's dropped in. And now it's something else completely. Oftentimes when we think about forgiveness with ADHD brains, there's a little bit more, some of it's forgiveness and some of it's just a like, it just disappeared.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right? So it's dye.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
You feel it and then it disappears.
Not only is it intense, it encompasses everything.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think what you saw yesterday was this call was happening and everything in my world stopped.
Yeah.
And I honestly, sometimes when I'm on those calls, I forget where I am. I don't know if I've had lunch. I don't know what I just got done working on. I don't know what I've got to do next.
It's hyper-focus.
Yeah. And there's sadness and there's grief and there's all those things. And it is very intense and it doesn't last a super long period of time.
You metabolize it faster.
Maybe that's what, yeah.
You just
maybe
like,
that's what it is.
I feel as if when you have a beer and you're walking around, you're just fine. Whereas if I have a beer, I can't walk in a straight line.
Right.
So you metabolize it
you
faster.
You have beer ADHD.
So it just takes me a while to get over things. It's like if I have too many cocktails, I'm feeling it the next day. Whereas you can get out and run 5 miles. You've metabolized grief, fear, pain, and you're just done.
I think that's correct.
That is amazing.
Right? So Dr. Marcy Caldwell is very, very good at finding these metaphors.
Right.
Like the fishbowl in the, by the way, with ADHD, the fishbowl on the shoulders, I was having a tough time not thinking about the Umbrella Academy.
Great show, by the way.
Because wasn't the leader of like that evil syndicate just a dude with a fishbowl, on his head?
Yeah,
and
on his
so
shoulders,
I got
yeah.
really excited when she said that. But I think that helps explain it, right?
Yeah.
And so she mentioned two things. Here's the second thing that she told us about that. When we, you know, when I was asking, what's the other side of this? What's the yang to this coin? What's the problem with forgiving easily and moving on and letting go, like I said? And she brought up something that honestly was an issue that I had probably until I married you and maybe while I am still being married to you.
Wow, you're still
But I don't think that's the case. I believe that this is a problem that I used to have that was solved by meeting kind of like the perfect person. And it has to do with like forgiving when maybe you're not supposed to.
Any strength has a vulnerability attached to it, just like any vulnerability has a strength attached to it. So with forgiveness, I think the biggest vulnerability is a tendency to stay in relationships that are not healthy. And because ADHD brains are not particularly skilled at stopping and reflecting and noticing the pattern, if they're prompted to stop and reflect, they will notice pattern for sure. They're great at noticing patterns, but the stopping and reflecting doesn't tend to happen. Therefore, they can kind of end up in this series of being hurt over and over again and not notice it for too long.
Number one.
Wow.
So big both ways. Number one, when I knew, even when I knew that there was a relationship that we were in, that I was in, that wasn't going to be the long-term answer, it was just kind of comfortable.
Yeah.
I stayed in them for way too long.
You did date and people for a long time.
I like waited for them to break up with me.
Wow.
Right. Conversely, I have been cheated on several times and just kind of was, I just kind of got back into it and did not read the larger picture signs that was like, this is not the correct relationship for you.
Yeah.
So yes, and I never made an equation to that and being the other side of being able to forgive, but that makes sense too, right?
You know, I don't know who said it, but there's this phrase that says like, the body keeps score. Your body sort of stores trauma. And I always said from high school, my body knew before my brain did about relationships I wasn't supposed to be in.
And how do you mean? Like,
felt? My inside, my heart, and my entire being, I couldn't even. The minute, and it wasn't even, I did date a number of guys who cheated on me, but it wasn't even really perfectly nice per people. But I'm like, oh, this is not right. I could not stay in one more day. The light switch went off. My body, I couldn't hold hands, couldn't even pretend to hug them. I was just done. And I think that is that empath energy that just my body was storing. I just did not have the ability to look past it. So that's interesting that your brain, and it makes total sense, could not process your body just doesn't keep score like that. And there's a lot of beautiful parts of it, but you can move on so quickly that like, oh, you cheated on me again. It's okay. You just get over it.
It also happened with some jobs, with some places where I worked, where I definitely pushed past the things that I was really unhappy about. And I stayed in jobs that I wasn't happy with for long periods of time in a lot of them.
That's
to be honest with
you. Jobs are tough though, because I get that. I was unable.
Because it's money and it's how you live.
It's how you live. Yeah. We got to talk to our friend Carlos Whitaker last night. We just had him on the podcast and he asked a good question, because I am an empath and I get pretty anxious. And he's like, how does an empath with anxiety end up in the news business and go pretty far in the news business?
It's a good question.
And I said, not easily. And I was both basically with a curling iron on the floor of my bathroom every day before I had to go to work, crying because I was so sad about a story I'd covered the night before, or knew the story I was going to have to cover going in. And it was not, so my body just could not handle it. Whereas you need to be able to do that job, you need to kind of be able to suck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in conclusion here, have you completed your interview? Do you have any other questions you want to ask?
I had another question.
Go for it.
You know, and it's along that the body keeps score theme. Is there a time you do end up dealing with it? Do you ever bottle it? Is it, because to me, it's not being bottled up from what I can see. There's not a time in our family life where you just explode on us or get really angry and just lash out, which I think I even have a propensity to do. I store it up and then it just explodes. You don't, that I can think of, but has there been a time where you just...
Not yet.
Yeah.
let's see if we get there. I mean, and I'm happy about that. I just think, honestly, maybe what we've learned here is that I'm metabolizing it more quickly. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel frustrated and sad and angry, and I get really frustrated sometimes. As a kid, I flooded a lot. That was when your emotions got the most of you and you just kind of lost it. And that didn't completely go away, but I learned how to manage it. Like, I'm watching my son learn how to manage it right now, and it's so awesome to see him.
But it's such an ADHD thing, don't you think?
It is. It is.
And the term flooding was actually given to us by a teacher because, you know, PC had a situation where he was hit in school, and it, you know, not ideal, but his reaction to it was outsized.
Yeah, it was Ralphie and Christmas Story.
Right.
It was like one of those
things. It was a little outsized for third grade or whatever grade that happened. And he's like, he's flooding. His brain can't process how he wants to deal with it. And he just kind of, the dam breaks. He's definitely fine now. I mean, he's in seventh grade now and he's 13, but it took a minute.
Yeah. I would say that I have some really good built-in stress relief in my life. Tennis is one of them. Working out, like heavy lifting is mm-hmm. one of them. You can really take out a lot of aggression and mm-hmm. things like that. And I do think that you and I, since we got into counseling, have learned how to use the language so that we do fight at the right time instead of storing it up and it turning into a tornado or a hurricane. I can't promise that I'm not going to flip out at some point, because people who flip out don't want to flip out. It just happens, right? So it just hasn't happened to me. Mm-hmm. But you've seen me angry. You know it happens.
Yeah.
You don't want me to get angry.
No.
But you want me to
process emotions
like a normal, time. In a healthy way, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe what we've learned today is that I metabolize mine pretty quickly. I probably don't show it as much as maybe others do, or maybe as much as you would like me to show it. So you knew that I was processing this sort of thing. And I think what we learned about you is that you may have trouble letting go, but maybe I could use a little more of your not letting go so that I don't put myself in situations that aren't ideal for me. You know what I mean? Whether it's work or something else, like advocate for myself if I'm not happy with something, instead of just saying, okay, it's fine, we'll move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And I think I'm going to try to put into action showing myself some grace, but also others. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a muscle I have to activate.
Yeah.
It's not a muscle I have access to. And sometimes after I had that wrist surgery, they put in a nerve block. So I couldn't, my hand was just a limp noodle. My brain was telling my arm, you know, activate, lift, do it. But for 24 hours, it felt like it was a joke. Like I couldn't feel anything. I was throwing my arm around. It was hysterical. But that's what it feels like, my brain telling my body, telling my emotions, like, you got to get over this. You have to let go. Mm-hmm. You need to let go. And I just, it sucks. And I do that. And so I deal with it by, I'll go to the pantry and I'll get a snack. I have been tempted to reach for a glass of wine more than I should, but I've done a good job of not. Although it's very freaking tempting every single night. Yeah, I think if I could process that, I'd have healthier reactions to stress.
So thank you so much for making it to the end of this, you guys. If you did, take a screenshot and post it on the Twitter net. What do you do with the screenshot again?
Just like Instagram stories.
Yeah, put it on Instagram stories. Yeah, tag us on Instagram stories.
And then we can talk.
And if you tag us on Instagram stories with anything about the podcast, we are very responsive.
Very responsive.
It's our favorite. You guys who are listening are my favorite kind of people, because you respond, generally speaking, if you're listening to this right now, with a lot of depth and thought with what it is that you have to say.
Yes. And, you know, I love the fact that we get to make people laugh for a living, but this is a place where we get to talk about being better people. Speaking of laughing, how many times do you think I'm going to fall or get stuck on a chairlift while trying to go in an effort of going skiing?
We're definitely going to. So your next podcast you'll hear from us we'll talk about what we just did. Like Kim is going out of her comfort zone. I am probably going to try to go down a couple of hills that are way too dangerous for me. A lot of times she'll go on vacations and Vacation Kim comes out, and Vacation Kim is friggin' awesome.
I know.
So Vacation Kim is, she, activate. Vacation Kim lets go.
I do.
You really do. You let go when you're on vacation.
You know why? It's because you don't have all of the crap that you have to do in real life. And so if there's no dishes to do and people to be picked up and all that stuff, I can just be, I think Vacation, maybe when I retire, I'll be full-time Vacation Kim.
I don't doubt that. But I mean, you'll find something that you care about. You're never going to be fully retired. I tend to know that about you. But I do think that when you do have that, you know, 1 week where you really can get yourself out of the mode that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. You're a lovely person. And I love both of those people, but you're able to let go better. And one reason why lately you've made it so that on vacations, you like to your husband to plan them.
I think this flies in the face of what people expect out of me. I think people think I'm some sort of type A person. I am not, you guys. I'm trying to pack for this trip. And the, first of all, the only reason the downside of travel is packing for travel.
Yeah.
So our entire room is covered with options of what I'm to wear. And I sort of just don't want to deal with it. I'm not good at paperwork. I'm not good at planning. I don't even really know what we're doing because I just, my brain can't handle it. The details of it, which seems, people are surprised by that. People send me information like, hey, Kim, I wanted to tell you about this thing and here's some paperwork. And like, you're sending it to the wrong person. I will not do this. So yeah, so I don't know. I know where we're going loosely, but I don't know much beyond that.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be fun. And I planned some stuff, but I didn't overplan it because I wanted there to be some days for us just to kind of see what happens.
Unwind, relax.
Yeah. And put the wine in unwind, relax.
Do you guys know where that's from? Unwind, relax.
Comment below. There's nowhere to comment. I'm sorry. All right. We're going to get out of here. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to tell you how it went.
But by the time they're listening to this, we'll have been back from vacation. It's like a weird podcast time travel.
Right. But then the next podcast we're going to tell people about, they don't have to know that.
Did you just toot?
Okay. Thanks for coming by. See ya.
Penn just farted. Oh, by the way, let me tell you a really funny story. So we went to go visit Penn's mom and she's like, we just explained, she's not verbal and she's not really responsive. And Penn sat on the bed and was like, you know, trying to hold her hand and he just let one loose.
Yeah, that's the place to do it. No one's going to say anything.
She started laughing and she made this face that she wanted to just punch him in the arm and say, oh, Penn, that's disgusting, and just laugh because she's a boy mom. And you can tell she wanted to do that. It was really sweet. And then you were like conjuring up farts. I'm like, we are going to leave because you have messed your pants. So
that was my favorite part of that.
Yeah, it was.
Day.
It was really funny. She was very tickled by your toots.
So as all of those things start to fade away and her brain becomes a prisoner of Alzheimer's, she still
laughs at your farts.
Thinks it's funny when her son farts. And I love
fart jokes
her.
Never get old.
Yeah. I mean, they get stale. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.